invite each one of you to turn your Bibles, will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you can read, open up your Bible and see what the Lord has to say to you. All right? And it's God's Word to us all. I'm thinking about this subject here and for some time. Run into people and talk to them about their need of the Lord. And we tell you from time to time what we experience when we talk to folks or out on visitation and try to impress upon people and deliver to them their great need of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the only hope that they have, and the great need of their sin. And indeed, people are blinded. Folks are blinded. Maybe talk to folks that are very near death, and talk to them about their need and their soul. And you know, the tendency is generally they want to talk about everything else, or why they don't understand what's going on, or whatever. And there's just a blindness. There's just a blindness that prevails amongst mankind. And this passage has came to mind, and the Lord impressed me about this, and so we're going to take a look at it here in chapter 4. The Apostle Paul, dealing with this church at Corinth, you know, they've got issues, and they've got folks that are seemingly, you know, resting against the authority of the Apostle Paul. In chapter 3, he says in verse number 1, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you?" You know, he is called of the Lord to deal with them, and you know, he doesn't have to justify himself in dealing with them. The Lord used him greatly to preach the gospel there, and many were saved. He talks here about the law and the gospel. I think that's what's at hand in this chapter. And he talks about the Jews, how it is, and it's with sinners. So I think he's making a distinction between about the Jews, about this veil. There's a veil that's over them. The word of God is read, and sinners without Christ just don't get it. And that's the way that it is. But he says in verse 17 of chapter 3 that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And of course, that's what we need, is we need the Spirit of the Lord to move. And then there will be a change. And so then we come to chapter 4. In chapter 4, verse number 1, the Scripture says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry to proclaim the gospel and the word of the Lord, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but keep on pressing." Even though this church in particular, they doubt him, and they doubt they're needing to listen to him, and that, he says, "We don't give up, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." We just keep telling the gospel. Keep telling the word of God. We don't rely upon trickery or trying to craftily con somebody into salvation. But we preach what God says in his word, and we pray that the Spirit of God will move. Okay? We put before them the word of God and their responsibility before God. And we pray that our Father will be merciful, gracious, and move with the Spirit. And so we come on to verse number 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Well, we want to consider this morning just these few words, and we're going to take a look at these two verses in a little bit more detail. But these words here, blinded the minds. Blinded the mind. blindness. The worst kind of blindness, the blinding of the mind. Let's pray. Father, we need your help this morning, and we thank you for the way that you have helped us and blessed. We pray, Father, that you would bless in this word and message. Lord, we pray you'd honor your word and give it power as you've promised, Lord, and just you would convict sinners and save. As your children, Father, help us that we might see how we can be blinded too. And that we would not be blind, but we would be seeing as you see things. And Lord, help us in that. For those who are here and not saved, we pray that you'd save them. Lord, you're able and you have the power. And we pray, Father, that you would just work in our midst, save sinners and edify your people. And help us, Father, we might worship you at this time in your word. For we praise your name for your greatness and your power and majesty and might, that you are God and beside you there's none other. And Lord, we thank you for your calling upon us. We thank you for this time and this day that you've made that we can meet together to worship you. And Lord, I thank you for each one that's come. Help those unable to come, Lord, give them what they need to be able to be here in the services. And for any that are cold and indifferent, Father, we pray that you might work on their hearts too. We know you're able, and we pray that you would. Help now, we pray. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Blinded the minds. The God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not. The worst kind of blindness is what we want to consider this morning. You know, the terribleness of blindness. You know, we fear going blind. Any of you that ever had an eye injury, it's the first thing that you think of. Or when you're dealing with something dangerous in the work that I used to do, and that, it was always a guarding and a protecting of the eyes because of foreign material, metal and chips and all kinds of swarf and wood chips and stuff like that. Can get into your eye and poke your eye, damage your eye, get in there and grind up your eye, scratch your eye. And of course, there's a fear. We have a fear of going blind. Sight is such a wonderful blessing, isn't it? Brother Stephen mentioned this morning about the hearing of the ear, and that's a marvel. It is a marvel indeed. So is the eye. How the eye works, that we can see and we can perceive things and we can function with the eyes. A great part of our senses in this world is seeing. The scripture refers to as the eye gate. We've got to guard the eye gate because with the eye gate, the ear gate, we can put things in our hearts and minds that are detrimental to us. The terribleness of blindness. You know, close your eyes. How would you like it to be like that 24/7? 24/7. That's hard to comprehend, isn't it? It'd be terrible. We're used to seeing. For those who were born blind, you know, they have the aspect of having never known anything different. They, as they would grow up and over time, would learn that they can't see, but they don't know that reference of not being able to see. But we who can see, to go blind, it'd just be a terrible thing. Continual darkness, not able to behold beauty. You wouldn't be able to behold it, to be able to see a beauty, the beauty of the God's creation and the beauty of our family and our spouse, our loved ones, our children. You cannot behold a loved one or a child or a friend. When you're blind, you can't see to help another. You think about somebody that's blind. They have a hard enough time dealing with just getting around themselves. And they can't see to help another. You can't see the path that you walk. You can't see distant danger, and you can't see near danger. There's a great aspect there, and many people learn and learn to deal with blindness. And it's said that the other senses that remain are heightened, and so they are heightened and will become more sensitive for the blind person, and they learn to cope, but they don't ever solve the problem of blindness. They find it very difficult without help and training to even be able to help themselves. You know, our Lord Jesus is a healer of blindness, isn't he? I it's one of those things. I think Sister said it this morning. I didn't know there was so much in the Scripture about music. It's that way, isn't it, with subjects. We say, oh, I know that's in there. Oh, but I didn't know it was in there that much, you know. And when I considered, you know about accounts about the Lord Jesus in Matthew 9, Jesus departed this place, and two blind men followed him, in Matthew 9:27, and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him. Jesus said unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord," and he healed them, didn't he? They went from not being able to see perfectly. I figure they had at least 20/20, don't you? And I doubt they had a problem with their sight until the day they died, because that's the kind of healing our Lord Jesus would do. In Matthew 12, as we just march down through the Gospels, one was brought to the Lord Jesus with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him. And so much that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, "Is this not the Son of David?" He healed them. He could see again. And this old devil was cast out of him. In Matthew chapter 15, great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame. The word got out that Jesus can heal. And so they had those who were lame, those that were blind, dumb, maimed, hurt in accidents or born with maladies, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. I found that interesting where it says cast them down. They brought them before him. Don't worry. They didn't just dump them there. They brought them before him, cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. And so much that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. They glorified in that the God of Israel. What a wonderful thing. In Matthew chapter 20, two other blind men. There was those two in 9, and then there's these two in Matthew chapter 20. And it says here, "And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And, you know, Jesus just went trucking right along, didn't he, and didn't do anything. No, he healed them, didn't he? They cried out for mercy. They referred to him as, "O Lord, thou Son of David, have mercy on us." The men knew they were blind. They knew one was at hand, that the report was that he could heal them, and they cried out unto him for it. In Matthew 21, blind and lame came to our Lord Jesus in the temple, and it says there that he rejected them. No, it says he healed them. Those with the need that came to the Lord, he healed them. He helped them. They knew their state, they knew their condition, and they sought the Lord to help them. They knew that he could help them with their blindness. In Mark 8, he comes to Bethsaida and bring a blind man to him. And said, "If you'll just touch him, he'll be healed, he'll be helped." And he took the blind man by the hand, led him out of the town. You remember that one? I scratched my head about that one. He spit on his eyes, put his hands on him, said if he saw aught. He said, "I see men as trees." And then the Lord worked on him some more. Interesting how our Lord did that way. And that man was made to see by our Lord. There, in a reference that we refer to in Matthew, in Mark chapter 10, we see the account about blind Bartimaeus. We sing the Jericho Road, and that's a story, the account of blind Bartimaeus. It kind of coincides with that that tells about two there at Jericho. And it says in Mark 10, verse 46, "They came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho," that is Jesus, "with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus was healed by the Lord. And you know what? Bartimaeus didn't go home, but he followed with the Lord afterward. many of these accounts, that is the account is that they followed with the Lord. In Luke 7:21, in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Because see, that's a big one. Being blind. Being blind and being caused to be able to see. No doubt in that day, there was no state-of-the-art medical ability or procedure regarding the sight. They could do something about a wound. They could do something about a broken leg. But sight is just so very, very intricate and complicated. In John chapter 9, you remember about that account. We'll refer to it now, take a look at it a little bit stronger later on. But remember that fella, he was sitting there, and the disciples and the Lord knew about him. But as they passed by, that man didn't know that Jesus was passing by, but there was a reference to him. Who sinned, Lord, this man or his parents? And the Lord Jesus said, neither has he or his parents sinned, but that the works of God may be manifest in him, this man was born blind. And the Lord deals with him too. Our Lord is a healer, indeed, of physical blindness. But what is worse than blindness of the eyes, physical blindness? What's worse than that? Well, according to our text in 2 Corinthians 4, blindness of the mind is worse, isn't it? It is as terrible as blindness physically is. Blindness of the mind is terrible, terrible indeed. Turn over here to Matthew chapter 15. Let's take a look here and just some points that are here in the context that we want to pull out to understand about how great spiritual or blindness of the mind is. In Matthew chapter 15, our Lord dealing again with the Pharisees and scribes and such as that, he says unto them here about these religious leaders, the Pharisees and such, in Matthew 15, verse 14, let them alone, he says. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. The blind... Okay, we'll not talk about the blind leaders, but the blind are heading for the ditch. They're heading for the ditch and cannot help themselves otherwise. That's the way it is with being the blindness of the mind. They're heading toward a terrible, terrible end. You remember what the Lord said about some folks that were killed in a terrible, terrible way. Let's look at this over here in Luke 13. These folks, two different groups of folks that the people tell the Lord about. And he says something here that everyone in the house needs to hear and know. If you're here and you're not saved, for sure you need to know this. We who are saved, we do see it and have been blessed to understand the implication of this to us personally. In Luke chapter 13, verse number 1, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. That these Galileans had been offering sacrifice to whatever it was that they were doing in their worship of whatever. We don't know exactly. Pilate sent forces to them because he evidently thought that they were some kind of insurrectionists or some type of criminal in the land. And they were killed in this terrible, terrible way by those Roman soldiers coming upon them, even in the midst of their religious worship and service. And we don't know if it was to the Lord or otherwise. It said they're offering sacrifices. Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were worse sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? You think that because of the way they suffered, see, the Lord's dealing with a superstition that's at hand. Well, that bad thing happened to them, so they must have really been bad people. He's dealing with that. And we do reap what we sow. But the Lord said, and he sets them straight in this, suppose you these Galileans were sinners above all the rest of the Galileans, because they suffered such things, because they died in this terrible way, I tell you, nay. He said, no, they weren't worse sinners than the rest of the Galileans. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The blind are heading for the ditch. And as good as your life may be, if you go out of this life without Christ, you are heading to the pit of hell, prepared for the punishment of those that are sinners, that have sinned against God and deny His Savior. He goes on and adds this, or those 18, verse 4, upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them. You know, those 18 folks at that tower, that tower may have been in Jerusalem, and it fell, and 18 people were killed. Oh, they must have been guilty of some terrible, terrible thing for that to happen to them. Upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? You think that they were worse than those that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Likewise, all, everybody that he's talking to that's there not saved, likewise perish. Your end, without Christ as Savior, will be a terrible end indeed. Blindness. It's terrible and bad to be physically blind, but the blindness of the mind is the worst that there is, because those that are blind are heading towards the pit. In Matthew chapter 23, speaking about those that seek to be leaders amongst men, and the Lord dealt with these Pharisees here and their self-righteousness and their wickedness and such as that. In verse number 15 of Matthew 23, the Lord Jesus says unto them, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites!" Religious leaders. Religious leaders that don't know the gospel and don't know God, and God Almighty does not know them. Look out. Look out. Don't ever let any man tell you about the condition of your soul. That's between you and the Lord. Don't listen to a man that would promote himself, but rather listen to that which would promote God Almighty and His Word. Don't listen to a religious leader that just wants to get your money so he can bestow a blessing upon you. The blessings of God are not for sale. Salvation is free by Jesus Christ. And beware of a man that speaks of himself, and beware of a man that doesn't hold forth the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of the gospel and God's word. He says here, listen to this. Let's pick some of these out here. We know who he's talking to. Verse 16, "Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say." Verse 17, "Ye fools and blind." He's talking here and telling them, your doctrine is awful. Your doctrine, your teaching is terrible about this of the gold of the temple and all that. They make such an ado about such. In verse number 19, "Ye fools and blind, whether is greater?" Your doctrine is a mess, because your doctrine doesn't glorify God. But it's some little esoteric thing that you've made up, and some great claim that you make about how solid and sure your word is. Listen, our word in and of ourselves is nothing, but the word of God is settled and stands forever. And that's what we need to be holders forth of. Verse 24, "Ye blind guides, you strain in a gnat and swallow a camel." Your doctrine cannot help anyone. Verse 26, "Thou blind Pharisee, you don't understand what the problem is. You think cleaning up the outside is the way to go, and maybe that'll help you on the inside. Your doctrine cannot even help yourself. Woe unto you, ye blind guides. Those that are blind are going into the ditch, and those that are blind cannot lead any to help, because they themselves are heading to the ditch also, aren't they? Blindness of the mind, it's the worst kind of blindness indeed. In Luke chapter 6, verse 39, the Lord Jesus makes this statement. A parable, it says, that he speaks unto them. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, can the blind lead the blind? Everybody knows that answer. The blind man can't help himself, nor can a blind leader help him. Can the blind help lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The worst kind of blindness. Worse than the blindness of our physical eyes, the blindness of the minds. The mind. What blinds a sinner's hearts? What blinds sinners' hearts? What is it? What is it? Oh, man. This list is just a short list, but these are certainly some things. Self-righteousness can blind our minds, can't it? Self-righteousness. We think we've got it figured out. A person that says that they've got it figured out without referring to what the Word of God says at all is saying that they've got the mind of God and they know more about things than God knows about things. Self-righteousness. One that's wise in their own conceit. They're proud of themselves. The wisdom of this world is certainly a blinder, isn't it? John speaks to us about the pride of life. We've been made mankind in the image and likeness of God, and we can do a lot of things. We can sing, Brother Stephen. We can sing. We have language. We're able to develop. We're able to build. We're able to do and create. Not on the scale that God does, but on a lesser scale, we're able to, because the Lord has bestowed that upon us. And we're to be doing those things to His honor and His glory, but because of sin, we do it for ourselves. Wealth can blind the heart of sinners, can't it? The most wealthy in the world are usually those that just think that they can't be touched by anything or anyone. Fame. The famous. Those that are of notoriety. After all, I'm famous. The world loves me. I've got to be right. Beauty. Beauty can be a blinder of sinners' hearts. Success. Success in the ways of the world. Religion, as we have seen, can be a blinder of the heart, can it? And this of success in self-indulgence. Fulfilling the desires of the body, heart, and mind. The lust of the flesh. And as the scripture in John tells us, the lust of the eyes. One that gets away with that, seemingly. In Ephesians chapter 2, let's take a look over here and see what this says in regard to this. Those that think that they're successful in doing things and getting away with things, being sinful and following after the flesh and the way of the world and the way of what their eyes see and that, they're deceived. They can become blinded or be blinded about their short-term success. We saw in Proverbs about how that is. The fool pursues after things and he's just built up in it because he thinks he's getting away with it, but he's not considering the end of life. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 3, it's telling here about what we've been saved from and how far the Lord has brought us. It says in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. One keeps on pursuing those things and nothing happens. They can be blinded by that. Well, I remember faintly a warning about not doing those things and not going after that way, but didn't seem to make any difference. And people are blinded, aren't they? It says in Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. We think we get away with it for a little bit time of our life, and we become emboldened to continue on in it. That is blindness. Blindness indeed. Ignorance. Ignorance is a blinder. How it is so that we run into people that just don't know. They just don't know there's an eternity. They just don't know that there's a God. They just don't know that there's a creator. They just don't know. They're ignorant. They have no, all they do is live in their existence, you know, within the 3-foot radius of their body, and that's their life, and they just don't know anything else. Hard to believe that that would be the case, but it is that way in our world with some. They just don't know. In Ephesians 4, it speaks to it in verse number 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, the apostle writes, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity, the emptiness of their mind. Not thinking about anything serious. Not thinking about anything eternal or lasting. Just there. You ever met anybody like that? You ever met anybody that just seems to have no care about their soul or life or anything? They're just a lump of existence. It's a terrible, sad affair. The vanity of their mind. Having the understanding, what's it say? Having the understanding darkened. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. They just don't know. Because of the blindness of their heart. They're blind. They're blinded by their ignorance. They're blinded by their vanity. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Just what their body, what their old wicked mind can think of. We come back to our text over here in 2 Corinthians 4. And we just want to kind of break these verses down a little bit and just consider about what is being said here. It says here in verse number 3, but if our gospel be hid, our gospel, well, it's not that it's originated with us or with the apostle, but it's the gospel that we own as the children of God. It's the gospel by which we've been saved. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If it's not for that, we don't have life, do we? But it's by that what Jesus has done, that we do live. And so we carry it forward and we present it and seek to share it with others that they might know, as those that were before us did so with us. We need to. We need to hold forth the gospel that has saved us and to others. But indeed, our gospel is hid. It's covered up. It's covered up. So because it's covered up, do we give up? The apostle didn't, did he? We know this. It's a sobering thing to understand, but it is hid to them. But we don't need to quit. I kind of think that maybe in some of our churches we've quit. We've seen churches die because they wouldn't hold forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That very part, that first part of the commission that the Lord has given us to teach all nations about the truth of God's Word and about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In the Greek, this word is talking about being destroyed fully. See, when you witness, when you seek to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with people that are out there in the world that aren't saved, they are destroyed. Right there in that shape that they're in, they are destroyed. They are lost. They are undone. Brother Jim, it seems hopeless. Remember, we represent God Almighty, Lord Jesus Christ, through whom all things are possible. Remember the apostles? They said, well, who then can be saved? We said, with men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Let us not forget that. Let us not forget that. Our gospel is hid because those that we declare it to and want to hold it forth to, they are destroyed in and of themselves. They're dead. And it says here some expansion upon this, upon whom the God of this world. Who's that? That's Satan. The God of this world. The God, the prince and the power of the air. This is God's and He created it. But you know what? He's given it over into Satan's charge to see what he would do with it. I believe that that's really so. Now, praise God, He intervenes. And He works things. And He does things because He's got a purpose and a plan and a way. But the God of this world, the prince and the power of this air, just like Michael is the prince of Israel, so is Satan the prince of this world. And so don't ever expect this world in and of itself to hold anything good to you, child of God, because Satan's at work in this world. So what he'll do, I've told you before, I think, Brother Wayne said it about a man, some crook and criminal that was carrying $250,000 in a briefcase, and he lost it in some traveling. Lost it on a cab or something. He left that, a briefcase of money, as he was traveling, doing some of his mischief. He was a known criminal, and the money was returned to him. And my pastor said, boy, the devil sure did bless him good that day, didn't he? That can happen in this world. God gives blessings, but so does Satan give blessings too. And he blinds the minds of sinners with wealth, with fame, with seemingly getting by with wickedness. And whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds. If you're here without Christ, look what kind of crowd you're with. If you don't have Jesus as your Savior, that's the kind of crowd that you're with. It says in Timothy that Satan can take those who are without Christ and he can hold them captive at his will whenever he would want to. It's a terrible crowd for the one that's blind, has their blinded mind. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Believe not? Believe not the gospel. Believe not in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Believe not in salvation of their souls and forgiveness of their sins by the one that is the light. And that's the point. He is the light. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news, the glad tidings of Christ. He's blinded their minds, lest it be that this light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. You know, I find that interesting. That word image in the Greek is icon. It's where we get our word icon from. Jesus is God's icon. He's the one to look to. He's the one to worship and praise and look to for help in every way. He's the answer to everything. And He's the one that sets the dividing line of truth. He's the icon. He's everything. He's the one that men, women, boys, and girls are to look to. He says here, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the light. Think of that, the light. You know, for the eye to work, you got to have light. If you've ever been in a cave and they turned out the light, you had your eyes wide open, and when they turned off the light, you opened them up even more. Right? You did that. I did it. And you can't see anything because there's no light. But it's the light of the Lord that can break through that spiritual blindness, that blindness of the mind. And so we need to tell them about it. lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, the icon of God, should shine unto them. That's what we pray, isn't it? You pray for those who are without Christ that meet with us. You pray for those that you know of in your lives that are not saved, that the light of the glorious gospel would shine into them, that the Lord would shine through that old wickedness of Satan, that murderer and that liar from the beginning, and would shine unto them. May the Lord help us in that, and may the Lord help us to be encouraged in it. Did you know blindness can happen to the saints? Brother Jim, I'm alive in Christ. The light has shone. I am illuminated. Indeed, we are. But you know what can happen is we start going after this world. Tell you what, I was thinking about this. I've watched things in my past that before I was saved and to my shame after I was saved, things that I shouldn't have watched that did not do anything but feed the flesh. Tell you what, you sit down in front of your TV and you watch HBO 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you'll start thinking like the junk that comes across there. You'll start talking like the junk that comes across there, and you'll start thinking like the junk that comes across there. You get those wicked magazines that just tell about famous people and all the garbage that they're pursuing and doing and all that kind of thing. I worked in a grocery store when I was a young man, and I would look through those magazines, and I learned garbage and junk in those magazines that I wish I could forget. Whatever you feed is what you're going to get. Whatever kind of light you put in, that's what you're going to get. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. The apostle tells us that the Lord has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He tells us that we need to add to our faith. Okay, faith being that foundational thing. Faith being that which is given. And yet faith being that, after it's given, is possessed by those that are saved. We have it. And well, we should use it, faith based on our Lord Jesus. You know what? If you don't add to that faith, it says there in 2 Peter chapter 9, verse number 1, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, remember distant danger, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. The child of God can get so bad off, he can forget even that he was saved. What do you feed with? You feed with the junk of this world, that's what you're going to get. And you know what? That's going to displace the good things and the good word of God and the truth of God's word. And you and I, if we feed on this world, even we can become blind. It's not talking about the losing of salvation. The Lord's give everlasting life. But what are you going to do with your life the rest of the time that the Lord's given you from the time He saved you? You're going to use it for your Lord? Or are you going to use it for your flesh and yourself? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 11, he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Tell you what, we can really hurt each other. Brethren can really hurt each other. Usually when that is done, there's sin in the camp, one way or the other. That's usually how that happens. Brethren can really hurt each other. But I tell you what, a brother that takes up to hate his brother, a sister that takes up to hate their sister, or a brother, a sister, a brother. You understand what I'm saying? A child of God taking up to hate another. Let us not go there. Are you a grudge holder? We don't need to be grudge holders. We need to be those that would forgive our brethren. You know what it says there? 1 John 2:11, that he that hateth his brother is in darkness. You can't see. And walketh in darkness. You can't see. And knoweth not whither he goeth. Sounds very much like the blind man, doesn't it? Because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. Oh, indeed, we should be willing to forgive. And you understand that forgiveness and honor are yet two separate things. The apostle writes and tells about marking men, but to hate should not be part of the child of God's life. And then in Revelation chapter 3, let's turn over there. And you know what? This can happen to a church. Yeah, the blindness to the saints. It can happen to the saints indeed. It says here in Revelation chapter 3, to the church at Laodicea, in verse number 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. I got money and I've got stuff. Everything must be okay. And have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. What a church is made up of. The children of God. And so, because this isn't talking about the building. This is talking about the church. And who's in the church? The children of the Lord that he's added to that church are in there. And they have come to a point because of their claim to their wealth and their stuff. And they have no need physically. They are blinded to the real problem at hand. Blindness of the saints, indeed it can happen. The cure for all kinds of blindness is our Lord, isn't it? The cure for all kinds of blindness. In Matthew chapter 11, let's look over here. John the Baptist, he sent to Jesus after he was taken captive by Herod. And he sent some of his disciples over there to the Lord and said, are you him or should we seek for another? Listen to the Lord's reply. The cure for all kinds of blindness. The reply of our Lord to John the Baptist as he was there, as John was there in prison and would meet his death very soon. This is our Lord's answer. In verse number 4, Jesus answered and said unto them, the two that John sent, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. But it doesn't stop there, does it? And the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed. These are physical things. And the deaf hear, and the dead raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. There's the real cure for blindness, isn't it? For the one without Christ, the real cure for a blinded mind is to receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To repent of your sins and trust in Him and Him alone for salvation of your soul and the forgiveness of your sins and eternal life and everything that you need that you cannot obtain by yourself. Jesus is the cure. He is indeed the cure. In Luke 7, it says, and Jesus answered and said to them, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. He saved the best for the last, didn't he? That's how blindness is cured. That's how blindness is healed. Is by our Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 4, we see this reference here. The Lord Jesus coming back to Nazareth after the beginning of his ministry, after his baptism and his temptation in the wilderness. And he comes back to Nazareth, and we read here, and listen to what's here within this, what our Lord says, and what he reads out of Isaiah. In Luke 4:16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, that is Jesus, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. He was one of the volunteers willing to do so, if I understand that right. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, Esaias. And when he had opened the book, he found the place wherein it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind. Not just physically, but that worst kind of blindness, the blindness of the mind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. In conclusion, we come over here to this account in John 9. And where the Lord, where there was this man that was there, and referred to that earlier. In John chapter 9, verse number 1, it says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Somebody's got to be guilty. Reaping and sowing. There's the chastisement of the Lord upon his children. And then those things that come to pass that are directed or allowed by our God for his name's sake. It's just the way life is. We do well just to submit to it and enjoy the power of our Lord in it. I know that's easy to say, but that's the best place to be found in. May our Lord help us. Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but in this occasion, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." That's the reason this man was born blind. The Lord does, Nebuchadnezzar said it, he does what he wants to amongst the inhabitants of men. And nobody grabs a hold of his wrist or his hand and says, "What are you doing?" Nobody does that. Well, you know the account about this fellow. The Lord heals him, and he goes and tells his kin. The Pharisees call him in. There's a whole thing that happens about it. He's there before the Pharisees, and they're interrogating him, and that's truly what they do. And he says, they say to give God praise. And in verse number 25, he says, "And he answered and said, Whether he," speaking of Jesus, "be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." I don't know who he is or how he did it, but I know I was blind, and now I see. The Lord visits him later on, I think, at that saves him in verses 36 and 37. And then we have Jesus wrapping up about why the miracles and why he's come and all that. And listen, if you're here and you're not saved, listen to what the Lord says. Understand. May God grant you understanding and help to see and hear wherein you're blind, that you may see. Listen to what it says. And Jesus said, verse 39, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees, which were with him, heard these words and said unto them, "Are we blind also?" He's not talking about physical sight, but he's talking about this blindness of the mind. And the Pharisees say, "Are you talking about us? Are you saying we're blind?" Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. If you would see that you're blind, your sin would be forgiven you. But now you say, 'We see.' Therefore, your sin remaineth." The worst kind of blindness. The blindness that says, "I've got it all together and everything's good. I like it this way. I like it the way that I'm in control of it. I like what I understand rather than what I don't understand. I like what I can reason out." You know, to the sinner that says, "Lord, I'm blind. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to get it done. I don't know how to accomplish anything. I'm blind, Lord, and I need help." You know, that blind person through Christ will be made to see. But you say, "No, I'm not blind. I get it. Everything's good." The Lord Jesus said it right there. Your sin will remain. How is it with you?